And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Thick and Safe. Written by Paul Reimer and brought to you each weekday by the makers of Crisco. You know, folks, today the makers of Crisco are giving up their time to pass on to you an important message, an urgent government message on the heating of your home. Now, it's true that the icy winds aren't howling yet, but there are things that you must take care of now before cold weather comes if you want to be sure of a warm, comfortable, healthy home this winter.
Pardon me, but if you use coal, there's nothing to worry about, is there?
Indeed, there is. Our country's war drive is consuming vast stores of both oil and coal. At the same time, everybody in America is going to share equally in the burdens the shortage of fuel transportation will bring.
That's how it should be. But what do we do?
Well, listen. Whether your home's heated with coal or oil, you must use as little fuel as possible. So do these things. First, weather strip every door and window. Second, put up storm doors and windows. Third, have your heating system in perfect condition. Fourth, wherever possible, install insulation.
I take it these instructions are for everybody. How about folks with oil furnaces?
Well, everybody who lives in an area where fuel oil is to be rationed should change to coal as soon as possible. But friends, before taking these steps, consult a local heating firm. Their experts will answer all questions. Remember, this is a serious national emergency. But if you act wisely, and above all, if you act now, there's no reason why your family shouldn't have a warm, healthy, comfortable home during the cold winter months ahead. Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 10 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up to the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook abiding quietly at home. Vic has spent the evening immersed in volume 7 of his large library, and he's reading absorbedly in his easy chair. Sadie's seated on the davenport, making some flimsy feminine garment or other. And at last, a long silence is broken.
My stars, is it that late?
Fire, murder, thieves, what's the trouble?
Clock says 10:05.
It does it. How about that clock?
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Oh, so you say tick-tock, tick-tock, do you? I'm liable to go fetch a sledgehammer and rend you asunder.
Well, I didn't think it was any more than 8:30 or 8:45. Where'd the time go to?
Well, we ate later than usual.
Mm-hmm. Where do you suppose that boy of ours is?
YMCA, watching the fat men play handball.
Not this late. They started at 7 o'clock. Fat men would be worn to a frazzle by now. Goodness, it's a fat...
Hark.
Huh?
I hear the patter of tiny feet. Who is that, Robert?
Yeah.
Come on in, Robbers. We're just about to cut a watermelon.
I'm going to bed directly.
I'm not. I'm fresh as a daisy and ready for any wild escapade. I'm no lazy bone.
Fine talk from a fella that took a 2-hour nap on the Davenport before supper. I wouldn't be tired either.
How do you do?
Hi.
Julia.
Don't we have a deadline established for you, my man?
10 o'clock.
Have you met that deadline?
Well, it's only a few minutes after.
Only a few minutes after, eh? Isn't you reckoning on the fast and loose order and very sloppy? In my opinion, 10 o'clock means 10 o'clock on the head. Not a single second after. There's a little story they tell that if...
Oh, you don't care, yeah.
Really?
Nah.
Sadie, speak to this wicked boy. He's incorrigible.
10 o'clock does mean 10 o'clock, Willie.
Okay.
See? You brought tears to your mother's eyes with your careless, inconsiderate ways. Tears to your father's eyes, too.
I don't know if this is a thing to make fun of.
Oh, it's only 10 minutes past 10 or so, Ma. I'll watch it after this.
You weren't watching the fat nun play handball all evening.
No, Vernon Peggles and myself left the YMCA around 9. It began to get dull. Thin fella started to play. There's no kick in seeing thin fella slap a handball around. From the YMCA, Vernon and myself strolled over to the Greeks. Been there ever since.
Greeting your many friends and spending good money on a flock of lemon phosphates, I'll wager.
Cherry phosphates, Gov.
I work so hard to bring in a living. And every time I manage to accumulate a nickel, my wild, profligate, harem-scarum boy revels in cherry
phosphates. Let me tell you about this, Gov. It's mighty, mighty interesting.
Oh, sure. Alibis and excuses. Alibis and excuses.
I want you to listen also, Ma.
All right.
In at the Greek's confectionery, Vernon Peggles and myself were urged to drink all the cherry phosphates we could swallow absolutely free.
Well, Greek go out of his head or something?
Rooster Davis's big brother, Rotten.
What about him?
He was treating all comers to free cherry phosphates. Any innocent bystander that happened to drop in the confectionery was invited to step right up and drink their fill.
Has Rooster Davis's big brother, Rotten, grown suddenly wealthy?
In a way, I guess. Rotten Davis is a difficult individual to figure out. Some people like him and some people don't. Most of the time, I like him. And then there's occasions when I think he's kind of a nitwit.
He always struck me as kind of on the simple side.
He strikes a large part of the American public that way.
Like in the Bajo movie show the other evening. The way he carried on for a fellow, what is he, 20?
Be 20 his next birthday.
20 is almost a grown-up man.
What'd he do in the movie show, say?
You saw him. He comes striding down the aisle wearing a fur coat and chewing a big cigar and hollered at everybody he recognized in the audience and laughed that ha-ha-ha laugh and tried to attract everybody's attention.
Oh, that big, awkward, lubberly halfwit.
That was rotten.
He's growing since I saw him last.
Rotten is 5'8" tall now. Was he wearing spats and a derby hat in the Bajo, Mom?
Well, I never noticed the spats.
He wears a different colored one on each ankle.
Such a rude, noisy, look-at-me-everybody sort of fella. Why, coming down the aisle there, whenever he'd spot somebody he was acquainted with, he'd walk over and punch him.
That's rotten. That's rotten.
You don't associate with him much, do you?
No. Oh, he plays baseball over in Tatman's vacant lot a good deal, but as a rule, he don't bother spending any time to speak of with 14-year-old guys like myself.
You're beneath his notice, huh?
That's right. I'm beneath his notice. I couldn't expect to chum around with a fella going on 20 years old, 5'8" tall, and wearing spats and derby and smoking big, strong nickel cigars. No, you take the bulk of the American public, they're divided on what they think of Rotten Davis. Some admires him, some dislikes him.
How do you stand?
Well, I've been on the fence pretty much, but starting from tonight, I believe I'm going to admire him.
Because he give you free cherry phosphate?
He give everybody free cherry phosphate. People, Rotten Davis has done a very remarkable thing.
What's he done?
He has acquired a whole barrel of cherry syrup.
Oh?
The Greek makes your cherry phosphates out of cherry syrup, you know. He throws in some cherry syrup, and then some charged water, and then a few drops of phosphate. The cherry syrup is the main ingredient. Rotten Davis has acquired a whole barrel of that cherry syrup.
How?
Well, the Greek ordered a big batch of, ordered a big batch of merchandise from the wholesale house, and this barrel of cherry syrup was included by mistake. The Greek made the remark in the hearing of Rotten Davis that he didn't want it and couldn't use it. Rotten got together with the Greek. For an undisclosed amount, he bought that barrel of cherry syrup.
Oh.
It'll be kept right there in the store. Whenever Rotten feels like a phosphate, all he has to do is stop past and order the Greek to stir one up. That's in the agreement.
Rotten is quite a sport.
Isn't he, though? People can laugh and snort and guffaw at Rotten Davis all they please, but show me anybody else on the face of the earth that keeps their own barrel of cherry syrup in a confectionery store, and they've got enough cherry phosphates on hand to last them 9 lifetimes.
How big is the barrel?
50 gallons. Why, boy, it's enough to make your head swim. You only put a little dinky squirt of syrup in a phosphate. How much of a phosphate is syrup, would you say, Mom?
Oh, golly, I wouldn't know.
Well, you and Miss Denbyon drink them all the time, don't you?
Oh, I wouldn't say all the time.
A couple times a week, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've watched the Greek. How far does the syrup generally come up in the glass before he tosses in the water and ice and junk?
Oh, maybe a quarter of the way.
Oh, no.
Well, how far up would you say?
A fifth, if that.
All right, a fifth.
Gov, figure this out for me. The syrup in a 5-cent phosphate only comes up a fifth of the way in the glass. Don't that mean, then, that with a given amount of syrup, you get 5 times as much phosphate?
You seem to be figuring it out all right by yourself.
No, but check my figures.
I'd say your figures are correct.
You catch on to the overwhelming significance of the thing, then, don't you?
I don't.
Rotten has 50 gallons of syrup. 50 gallons of syrup translated into actual phosphate served across the counter amounts to 5 times 50 gallons. Or 250 gallons.
Good.
250 gallons of cherry phosphate.
You open unbelievable vistas of miraculous
now,
wealth.
Now, Gov, how many cherry phosphates does it take to make a gallon?
That's a branch of practical mathematics.
Oh, we can figure it out. We can make an estimate. Reduce it from gallons down to quarts, from quarts down to pints. Now, how many 5-cent phosphates would you say made up a pint, liquid measure?
Oh, gee.
Go on, guess.
Oh, golly.
Go on, guess.
Hey, who do you think you're ordering around?
Oh, this is so exciting, Ma.
Oh, boy.
Just give a rough estimate. Think now. Remember all the times you and Miss Denbottom have watched the Greek stir up a phosphate. How many of them little phosphate glasses would it take to fill up a pint milk bottle, would you say?
Oh, 3 or 4, maybe 5.
Oh, 3 or 4, maybe 5. Man, that's ridiculous.
Oh, it is, is it? Well, look, mister, don't you use that tone with your mother. My son.
6 at the very least.
All right,
now,
but
we can really make ourselves dizzy. Go.
I'm right here, don't hit me.
6 cherry phosphates make a pint of cherry phosphate.
Yeah.
A quart.
12 cherry phosphates.
A gallon.
48 cherry phosphates.
250 gallons.
Oh, wait a minute now, Dr. Sleetown. I need a pencil for this.
It'd be bewildering, Mom.
Yeah.
You ought to have seen Rotten Davison at the Greeks a while ago.
Was he drinking cherry phosphates?
By the dozen.
He's going to be so sick.
And his friends were drinking cherry phosphates by the dozen. I drank five myself. So did Vernon Pegels. And was the Greek lining him up, perspiring like a butcher.
He's going to be so sick, cherry phosphates.
Rotten Davis was sitting there like a king. When a new innocent bystander walked in, the screen door there, Rotten would just wave his hand airy and careless, and the Greek would trot out another glass. I never saw anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. 12,000.
What?
48 times 250 is 12,000.
12,000?
Yep.
Rotten Davis owns 12,000 cherry phosphates.
Mm.
12,000 cherry phosphates.
Mm.
And there's a portion of the American public that don't think Rotten Davis is a sport.
Mm.
And there's a portion of the American public that don't think Rotten Davis is a sport.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And so we leave Crisco's, Vic, and Sade until the next time. Don't forget to listen. This is Ed Roberts speaking.
Poor Mrs. Fiddlesticks. Have you heard? Someone told her the war was making changes in clothes. Told her new colors, new materials were in the stores. And all she said was, Fiddlesticks.
Yes, and someone else said, be careful. Guard what you've got. And wash what you get in ivory flakes. But all she said was, Fiddlesticks.
She went right on putting her flowered bedspreads and her checkered tablecloths and rayon housecoats right in the family wash with hot water and strong soap.
Well, pretty soon her bedspreads were faded. Her tablecloths were streaky. And that rayon housecoat limp. And then what do you think she said?
Boo-hoo, she said. Boo-hoo. But it didn't do her any good. Oh, if she'd only washed all her nice colored things gently in lukewarm suds of ivory flakes, then she would have been proud of them, because ivory flakes help colors last longer. They're the only flake soap with honest-to-goodness ivory mildness.
Why, we washed a rayon house coat 14 consecutive times. And do you think it faded like Mrs. Fiddlestick's house coat? Oh, no. It still looks practically new.
So don't risk wartime colors in the family wash now. Curtains, school clothes, colored socks. Like your stockings and undies, ivory flakes them. They'll last you longer.
This program came to you from Chicago and New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.